All right. I do believe I have the mic on. I hear it. My sound man's giving me the nod of approval. Just before giving a lavish party at his estate, a tycoon had a swimming pool filled with poisonous snakes. He called his guests together and announced, "To anyone brave enough to swim across the pool, I will give the choice of 1,000 acres of my oil fields, 10,000 head of cattle, or my daughter's hand in marriage." No sooner were his words spoken than a young man plunged in, swam across the pool, and climbed out, unscathed but breathless. "Congratulations," the tycoon greeted him. "Do you want my oil fields?" "No, no," gasped the guest. "The 10,000 head of cattle?" "No," the young man shouted. "Well, how about my daughters?" "No! You must want something," said the puzzled host. "I just want to know the name of the guy that pushed me in." Reminds me of Othniel, right? Anyway, I missed. I think I just blew that one altogether. But I'll give it to you anyway. French novelist and playwright Alexandre Dumas once had a heated quarrel with a rising young politician. The argument became so intense that a duel was inevitable. Since both men were superb shots, they decided to draw lots, the loser agreeing to shoot himself. Dumas, of course, lost. Pistol in hand, he withdrew silently into another room and closed the door behind him. The rest of the company waited in gloomy suspense for the shot that would end his career. It rang out at last. His friends ran to the door, opened it, and found Dumas, smoking revolver in hand. "Gentlemen, a most regrettable thing has happened," he announced. "I missed." I thought it was funny. I read the title and I thought, oops, I just blew that. If you will, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And I was told that I scared everyone to death the other night when I said I had 12 pages of notes. And rightly so. I would have fainted if I was in the congregation and Kyle said that. But Luke chapter 23, I don't have 12 pages today. So we'll try to make this, I'll try to make up for Wednesday night. Luke chapter 23, let's start down in verse 13. Luke 23, and we'll start down in verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you once again this morning. And again, a humble people, a needy people. Lord, there's a lot of needs and a lot of turmoil represented here in this congregation. And a lot of decisions, Father, that have to be made in the lives of these people. I do pray that you would set me aside here this morning, open up the words of the Holy Bible, and Lord, minister to the hearts of each and every one that's here. I pray, Father, that if there's anybody here that's never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that this morning would be the morning that they realize what a great God and what a great Savior Jesus Christ really is. And Father, that they would realize just how much they need him. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So once again, we come to a familiar passage of Scripture about Jesus Christ and the makeshift trial before Pilate. And in verse 14, Pilate examined him and found no fault in him. And in verse 15, it's noted that Herod had examined him also and found no fault or nothing worthy of death in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, verse 16 shows up and Pilate says, you know what? I'm just going to whip him. I'll just beat him, chastise him, and we'll let him go. Then verse 18 shows up and you got a bunch of people standing around, the mob, the crowd, and they start screaming and yelling and they yell, no, crucify him, kill him. Give us the murderer, Barabbas. Those people that were standing around said, we'd rather have this man, this causer of sedition among the city, and this murderer, give to us this murderer, and crucify this Jesus. And again, in verse 20, Pilate tries to release him. And in verse 21, again, the crowd is steadfast, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate in 23 says, I'll chastise him and let him go. And in verse 24, Pilate finally gives in and says basically this. He says, it shall be as you require. It shall be as you require. And that's the title of the message this morning. And that's simply this. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to your Christian walk, when it comes to a lot of things in life, the message this morning is this: it shall be as you require. It shall be as you require. As you can tell from this passage, this whole passage is about choice. It's about making choices. And the children of Israel here have gotten to the point where they're fed up with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they brought him before Pilate. And they've already made up their mind what they want, and there really is no reasoning with them at this point in time. But they've got him before Pilate, and for the most part, the children of Israel have chosen to reject their Messiah. And they've chosen to keep Barabbas. And you know, today in our country, for the most part, most people in this country have chosen to reject Jesus Christ as well. Most people in this country have chosen to reject the Bible and the biblical principles that we should be guiding and running our lives by, and they've chosen to select something other than their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And 2,000 years have passed since that day back in Jerusalem, and not a whole lot has changed. Not a whole lot has changed. And just like the Lord Jesus Christ sat there when all this was going on, and watched that crowd of his people, watched that crowd of Israelites turn their back on him, and watched that crowd choose to reject him, just like Jesus Christ sat back and allowed them to do that, you know what? He'll sit back and allow us to make the choices that we make in our life. The Lord will allow you to choose your path, even if the consequences of your choice is an eternity in a lake of fire. And that's a scary thing. That's a scary thing. The God of heaven stood by and allowed people to choose to crucify him. And though he could have, he did nothing to stop them. I don't know if any of you have, Calvinistic leanings here this morning. I certainly hope not. And if you do, I'm probably going to make you mad. But you know what? He allowed them to choose what they wanted to choose. And he did nothing to step in and stop them. And he could have, but he didn't. He didn't. Life, ladies and gentlemen, is about choices. It really is. We make choices every day, and then we live with those decisions, good or bad. Good or bad. And I'd like to ask you this morning, just to consider three simple choices, and then we'll go home and get lunch and you can have an afternoon nap. Three simple choices that you must make in this life. And the first one of those choices is simply this. You must choose a Savior. You must choose a Savior. Now, if you're in church this morning, that's a choice. Maybe somebody else made it for you. Maybe you're your little kid and mom and dad said you had to go. But if you're in church here this morning, that is a choice, and that's a step in the right direction. And amen, I'm glad you're here, and I hope you get something out of the message. And you probably know what I'm going to say about Jesus Christ and how that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled on that cross, and how they nailed him up to that tree, and how he hung there in torment, and after having his beard ripped off, and all the things that Jesus Christ went through, the crown of thorns on his head. You probably know that I'm going to talk about that and tell you that you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I am. You probably knew that when you came to church, that would probably be the topic in one way, shape, or form of the service. Maybe you've heard that before. Maybe you've just been sitting here and you've been avoiding that question in your life. Maybe you kind of knew what you were getting into when you came to church this morning, and you just kind of, for whatever reason, decided to grin and bear it and come sit another day in the congregation and hear about this man called Jesus Christ. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're avoiding trying to make the choice. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're lost, and you know you're lost, and you're not really willing to do anything about it. You know you should, but in the back of your mind you think, I'm not ready. I'm just not ready for that. Maybe you're here, and you just flat out don't want to be here. Maybe you would much rather be, on the lake in a boat, on a jet ski, something like that. Maybe you have no intention at all of choosing Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't know. Maybe you're here this morning like that. I hope not. I really do hope not. But I'm going to take a few minutes here and just go over why you should trust Jesus Christ as your Savior that way. Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sins. He hung on that cross and he died. And I'd like you to remember, when you face this choice, that God will honor your choice. It shall be as you require. And you know, that's a scary thing as a human, when God leaves something that serious up to us. But the truth of the matter is, if you're lost here this morning, it shall be as you require. Your choice makes a difference. Open your Bibles to John 1 very quickly. John 1, and we'll read a short passage of Scripture in the book of John. In John 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man in that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but the will of God." Life is full of choices, and I'm asking you this morning, if you're sitting here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the first and most important choice that you need to make is the choice to follow the God of creation. The Bible says there, it says that the world was created by Him. All things that were made. This God that I'm asking you to choose actually made the stars in heaven. This God that I'm asking you to choose actually set everything in motion so that Adam and Eve could start the human race. And you're sitting here today because of what He did. And a lot of times you look at people out in the world, and maybe some of you sitting here today, you look at people out in the world, and a lot of people do not acknowledge that God actually is the Creator. God is actually the Creator. You say, why should I choose God? Why should I choose Jesus Christ as my Savior? I'll tell you one good reason, because He's powerful enough to create everything that you see. He's powerful enough to create everything that you see. That same God came to this world and died and hung on that cross for you. He gave His life for you. You say, why should I choose a Savior? Because He loved you enough to die for you. He loved you enough so that if you would just humble yourself, and if you would just take an honest, clear look at the sins you've committed, and look at your destiny, a heaven or a hell, and come to the realization that when you die, you've only got one of those two places to wind up at, and you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, you created everything here. You created heaven. You created hell. I'm going to trust you to take me to heaven. I'm going to trust you to forgive my sins. You say, why should I trust that God? Because He created you. Who else are you going to trust? Who else are you going to trust? You're going to trust the devil? Because when it comes right down to it, those are your only two choices. You can either trust God or you can trust Satan. Look at John 3 very quick. John 3, familiar passage. We'll look start in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Travel down the page a little ways to verse 16. And verse 16, probably the most familiar verse in the whole Bible, says this. It says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm asking you to choose a Savior this morning that loved you enough to die for you. I'm asking you to choose a Savior this morning that created the world. I'm asking you to choose a Savior this morning that came into this world not to condemn it, but to save it from condemnation. To save it from condemnation. You ever meet people that just seem to be, they are just cantankerous and they hate everything, and they're usually about, 65, 70-year-old men. And just nothing in life can please them or make them happy. They're just, you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ that I'm asking you to choose is not like that. He's not like that. The Lord Jesus Christ that I'm asking you to choose here this morning came to save you from that. He came to save you from that. Life is about choices. And one of the biggest choices that you have to make is a Savior. Take a look over in John 14, another very familiar passage of Scripture. John 14 says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thomas saith unto him, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. I'm asking you this morning to take a look at your life and where you sit with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not what everybody thinks you've chosen, but what you know in your heart, deep down inside, you've chosen. You know whether Jesus Christ is real to you or not sitting here this morning. You know whether it may be just a facade that you put up, maybe to please your parents, maybe to please your husband, your wife, maybe to please somebody that you care about. You know where your heart is when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to ask you this morning, will today be the day that you finally choose the Savior? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ left this earth after His resurrection and went up, and the Bible says here in John 14 that He's preparing a place for us. You say, why should I choose Jesus Christ? Because of the preparations He's made for you. All the things that He's done to be prepared for you, to turn your back on that and to leave that and to choose the devil over Jesus Christ would be a terrible tragedy. It would be a terrible tragedy. Turn back to Luke, if you will, real quick. Back to Luke 23, where we were. Back to Luke 23 and look down. We'll skip down a little further in the passage, down to verse 39. In verse 39, we remember there were two other people that were crucified with Jesus Christ while he was up there on that hill. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." 2,000 years ago, three men were crucified on the cross on Calvary's mountain, on Golgotha, the place of the skull. Three men were crucified on top of that mountain. One of them being the Lord Jesus Christ, who then 3 days was raised from the dead, who came back to prove to everybody that he had risen from the dead, and then ascended up and is now sitting in heaven waiting to come back for his return. But those two other men sat there by his side, one on either side of him, and one of them looked over at Jesus Christ and it says railed on him. "Who do you think you are?" You know, talking big and thought he was a hot shot. You ever been in prisons or the juvenile facilities and you meet a kid like that? Isn't that annoying? You have somebody who's locked up in prison, been found guilty, and still they want to rebel. They want it their way. They want to rant and rave. You know what? You can't have it your way. And one of those two thieves that was crucified with him railed on Jesus Christ. And the other one had the sense to look at him and say, "Shut your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about. This guy hasn't done anything wrong." And that other thief that was on the cross next to the Lord Jesus Christ at that moment turned to him and chose a Savior. And you know what you need to do? You need to choose a Savior. A lot of people try to think of a lot of ways to get out of choosing. You say to yourself, "I'll do it later." William James said, when you have to make a choice and you don't make it, that is itself a choice. Former President Ronald Reagan, when he was young, had an aunt who took him to a cobbler to get a new pair of shoes. And the cobbler asked the young Reagan, he said, "Do you want square toes or round toes?" Unable to decide, Reagan didn't answer, so the cobbler gave him a few days. Several days later, the cobbler saw Reagan on the street again and asked him what kind of shoes he wanted. Reagan still couldn't decide. So the shoemaker replied, "Well, come by in a couple of days. Your shoes will be ready." When the future president did so, he found one square-toed shoe and one round-toed shoe. The cobbler said, "This will teach you never to let people make decisions for you." Reagan said, "I learned right then and there, if you don't make your own decisions, someone else will. Someone else will." And I just ask you this morning very simply, have you chosen a Savior? Have you chosen a Savior? Second question I'd like to ask you is very simple and very easy, and that is this. Have you chosen a master? Have you chosen a master? Now, choosing a Savior, a lot of times people will choose Lord Jesus Christ and become saved, but that's about all the further they get. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saved and you know you're saved and you've heard the message of salvation preached several times and you think, is that all there is to this Christianity stuff? I go to church once in a while and I hear salvation and yeah, yada, 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 yeah, right, in one ear, out the other, because I've already done that. Well, maybe your choice isn't choosing a Savior. Maybe your choice is choosing a master. Because you see, each and every one of us has to make a choice on who we're going to serve in this life. Each and every one of us has got to make that choice of who we're going to serve in this life. Choosing a Savior will get your sins forgiven. It'll keep you out of hell, and that's a good thing. And I hope every one of you has done that, and if you haven't, I would encourage you to do that this morning before we leave this place. But there's much more to Christianity than just choosing a Savior. You need to choose a master. You need to choose a master. And you know, the bottom line is, you basically have got three choices. Take a look at Luke chapter 16. If you will, just flip back a couple of pages of chapter 16. And in choosing a master, you basically have three choices. And Luke 16, verse 13 says this. It says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Basically, if you're sitting here this morning and you're a Christian, you've been saved, but you've never made the choice to make Jesus Christ your Savior, you've got one of three choices. And the first choice is this: you can choose the world or the devil. And Luke 16 says, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the world. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and this earthly life down here and put all of your time and your effort and your energies and everything that's really important you think is all wrapped up in what you have down here, in the house that you have and the car that you drive and maybe the friends that you have, maybe the recreations that you partake in. Listen, you can't serve God and that stuff. You've got to choose a master. You've got to choose a master. You can't serve God and mammon. I know a lot of people try. They try to get by with serving God a little bit and then, you know, just enough to appease their conscience. And then the rest of their time is free and clear. It's all theirs. You know what? I think we're all guilty of that to one degree or another. Because all of us could be a little more prudent in our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me ask you this. How much is the Lord Jesus Christ on your mind on a day-to-day basis? How often do you think about Him? When it comes down to making decisions in life, when it comes down to setting up your priorities in life, how often does the Lord Jesus Christ and His principles come into play? Maybe you're saved, but have you made Jesus Christ, have you made actually Him your master? Or have you made the world your master? Because you have to choose a master. The world is one. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's awful easy to get distracted from the Lord Jesus Christ. It just is. We're weak. We're pitiful half the time. The other half the time we're asleep. But let me ask you this. If you're saved here this morning, have you possibly made the world your master? Because that is one of the choices you have. You can choose. Flip over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. You got to choose a master. You got to choose a master. And the world or the devil is one of those choices you can make. Romans 16, verse 17 says this. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions among you and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Now you can serve the world and its system, and you can choose to make that your master. The second thing you can choose to make your master is just your flesh. It's you. And a lot of Christians won't go quite as far as choosing the devil and the world because they have some standards after all. But you know what? They'll certainly make themselves their master. They'll certainly arrange circumstances and do things around themselves. And you know what? It's all about number one. They'll serve their own belly. Last night they went down to the Basilica and did some street preaching. You know, big Catholic church. And what are they doing? You know, of course this is a church. Having a big beer bash. Come on down, get drunk, listen to rock and roll music, and then who knows what happens afterwards, right? Maybe you make it home, maybe you don't. Maybe you get in a car accident, who knows. But went down there, and in talking to a lot of people, my wife ran across, I was talking to her about it afterwards when she got home. She said she ran across several people that claimed to be saved, claimed to be Christians down there. Down the block party, going to the beer bash, getting drunk, right? That claim to be Christians. I wonder who their master is. I wonder who their master is. You know, they would probably tell you right up front, no, I'm not following the devil. But it's really easy to make the flesh your master. It's really easy to make the flesh your master. In fact, there was a blessing she told me about. She talked to one lady down there, and the lady was asking her, why? What's wrong with this? And why shouldn't I do this? And the lady was staying at the Salvation Army facility. Of all places, Salvation Army, you know, Booth, Salvation Army. You'd think there's some spiritual discernment. They told her she could go down there for some entertainment. So she starts talking to her a little bit, and this lady was asking, well, why? What's wrong with this? And so my wife was talking to her a little bit about what the problem was with all of it. And you know what? This lady actually had enough discernment to realize, hey, maybe this isn't the place I want to go. She turned around and went back. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. You know what? It's easy to make your flesh your master. So you've got to decide who's your Savior. But you also have to decide who's going to be your master. And it can be the world, and it can certainly be your flesh. Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. How about you? Who's your master? Hopefully it's not the world, and I hope it's not the flesh. You know, the final choice obviously is our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Colossians 3 real quick. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3:23, it just says this. It says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Verse 24 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. For ye serve the Lord Christ. I remember back there in the Old Testament, Joshua, in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, Joshua stands up and says to the children of Israel, he says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Would that be the choice you make this morning? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, you got to choose a Savior, and you got to choose a Master. You just do. You have to choose. And to not make a choice is a choice. And I got one final thing, and then we'll wrap things up. One final thing. You got to choose a Savior. You got to choose a Master. And finally, you know what you have to choose? You've got to choose a life of joy. You've got to choose a life of joy. See, I know and have seen a lot of people that have chosen Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's a good choice. And they're on the right track. And I know and have seen a lot of people who have chosen to make Jesus Christ their Master. And they're to be commended for that. And that's a great thing. Unfortunately, some of those people have forgotten that it's supposed to be a joy to serve our Savior. And when you look at them, they're missing an important characteristic of a Christian, and that is they're missing joy. You know, folks, serving Jesus Christ is supposed to be fun. I understand there's turmoils. I understand there's challenges. I know all about the headaches, the heartaches, and all the things that come along with it. But you know what? The bottom line is you need to choose to be joyful in your service to Jesus Christ. You need to choose a life of joy. You know, a lot of how the Lord deals with us depends upon the choices we make in our lives. And it's really easy to get in that downward spiral and just head down and down and down and down, further and further and further in the dumps in the Christian walk, and forget that we're supposed to be joyous Christians. Because a lot of times we think, well, I've got the Savior, I've got the Bible, I've got a master, I've got service, but then it becomes a burden to us. And we lose our joy. And we forget sometimes just what the Lord Jesus Christ has taken us out of and just how much He's done for us. And we become, 65, 70-year-old grumpy men at 28. I don't know if there's anybody. Hope nobody's 28 in here. I'm sure that was a random number. Right? We become 65, 70-year-old grumpy men at 40, at 46. How's that? Well, am I 46 or 45? I was trying to get my age. I think I turned 46 in August, so I've forgotten. Doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't matter anymore. But you know what? Once in a while, you get to live in the Christian life, and you forget we're supposed to have joy. You know, I've got a saying that I like to say, and that is just simply this. You know what? Life is good. Life is good. And then just recently, I added an addendum to that saying. Life is good. And I can't say this just anywhere because people look at you really funny and think you're suicidal. I said, life is good. Death is better if you're saved. But you got to be careful where you say that because people will take it wrong and they think you want to kill yourself. And that's not it at all. Although sometimes, no, I'm just kidding. But life is good. I got the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and He takes care of me. Even with all my faults and all my troubles and all my, you know, mess-ups, all the things that He's got to put up with me with, you know what? He's still giving me a good life. And it would do us well not to forget that. Don't lose your joy. You got to choose a Savior, and you got to choose a Master. But you know what? A lot of your joy is your choice. It's the combination of the choices that you make and how you handle the things that the Lord puts in your life. You've got to choose joy. I think of the prodigal son in Luke 15, and we don't have to turn there because you know the story, but he answered to his father and he said, lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet you never givest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. You know what the prodigal son's missing? He's missing his joy. He forgot, everything the father had was his. He forgot the blessings that he was reaping, and he forgot the heartaches and the headaches that he was missing because he didn't do what his brother did. He forgot all that stuff, and he lost his joy. Listen, the prodigal son should have been merry. He had the ranch. I mean, he had all of it. He had the father. He didn't make the mistakes of his brother. But he lost his joy. You know why? He got self-consumed and you know, became very self-centered. And his priorities got all mixed up. They got all messed up. And he didn't keep things in the proper perspective. He didn't keep things in the proper order. And he lost his joy. I think of Martha in Luke 10, and she was cumbered about with much serving, and she came to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she may help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She got so caught up in the service and serving and all the little details and let it get her down and let her get her all frustrated and let her get her all angry that she forgot. The God of heaven was sitting in her living room. Hey man, wouldn't it be a blessing to do dishes if God was in your living room? Hey Lord, look at how clean these dishes are. Instead of, I get stuck back here doing the dishes. She lost her joy. She lost her joy. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul said, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." You know what? You know what service to our Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to be? It's supposed to be full of joy. Sometimes, guys, as Christians, we forget that. Listen, we need to make the choice to get our joy back. And we do that by thankfulness. By being grateful for what, like the prodigal son should have been. Grateful for what we have. By remembering why it is we're serving. And by remembering and rejoicing for others. Remember that our service is for others. Your life will largely consist of the choices that you make. Now, I know not everything is within your choice, within your power to choose. I understand that. But a good part of it is. And we'll wrap things up here, and I'll just say this. The title of this message is very simple. It shall be as you require. Those Israelites back there in Luke 23 had no reason to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ, but they did. And Pilate bickered with them back and forth, tried to reason with them. They were unreasonable. And Pilate finally got to the place where, in essence, he said, "As you wish, it shall be as you require." And I'd just like to say this morning, as we wrap things up and get out of here, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of your life will be as you require. First off, you need to choose a Savior. If you're here this morning and you've just been playing church, if you've never really, really trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, that's the first and most important decision you're going to ever make. But you need to choose a master. If you're saved here this morning and you've got other priorities and you've got other things going on greater than the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to think about who you're serving and who's your master. And finally this morning, listen, as a Christian, somebody who's chosen Jesus Christ as their master, you need to remember, you need to choose to be joyful. Because of the result of your service, remembering what it is you have, being thankful, you need to choose to have the joy that only Jesus Christ can give. The point of this message is just simply this. You know what? God will honor your choice. Pilate told those people, he said, as you require. And the God of heaven stood by and let those people make that choice. And the God of heaven also honored their choice. And, you know, he's not going to honor your choice every single time, 100%. I can't guarantee you that. But a lot of times, Lord Jesus Christ will honor your choice. And I'm just here to say this morning, choose the right things. Choose him as Savior. Choose him as Master. And choose to live a joyful life. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we come before you this morning. Lord, we are a needy people. Father, we a lot of times forget simple things about Christianity. Lord, I just ask that first and foremost, if there's somebody here today who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, maybe they've heard it hundreds of times before, that you'd give them the courage and the desire to make that choice this morning. Father, if there's a Christian here who's never made the Lord Jesus Christ his Master, Father, this morning you'd impress upon them the need to make Lord Jesus Christ master of their life. Lord, maybe there's somebody here who's saved and who no doubt is in the service of the Lord and has given up a lot of things for the cause of Jesus Christ, but maybe somewhere along the line they've lost the joy of what it's all about. Now, Father, I pray that you deal with them and help them to make choices that would regain their joy and put a little skip in their step, Father, a little spark in the fire, and just to kind of stir things up again. Because, Lord, you're a great God, and it should be a joy to serve you. So, Father, if there's anybody here in any one of those conditions, I pray that you would deal with their hearts. Lord, have them answer the invitation call. Come down front. If they're lost, we'll put somebody with them that can take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Lord, maybe they just need a little bit of time in prayer with you. Whatever the case, I just ask you to deal with your people here. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll do number 437. Number 437. And then we'll be dismissed. Whoa. Hey, Josh, do you know this song? Do you know this song? Amen. That was a beautiful song. Now I know another song. Amen. All right, folks, you can be dismissed. We'll see you this evening at 6 o'clock for normal service time.